I made my debut when I was 9 years old. And I was born in Leningrad, Soviet Union, country and city that do not exist anymore. It's now St. Petersburg, Russia. And then in 91, I moved to United States to study at the Juilliard School. And I stayed in United States all this time. And I've been working and living and traveling, and now traveling about 200 days a year. And I'm delighted to be in Des Moines working with Maestro Junta, about whom I heard so many wonderful things. And we just had our first rehearsal yesterday, and he's absolutely terrific, and the orchestra sounds great. So I can't wait for this weekend's concerts.
And I might add to your list of accomplishments, you are now an American citizen, so congratulations.
It's been a few years, but I'm still very happy about that fact.
In 2014, you were the winner of the Ambassador of Arts Award, and you really have done some amazing things, not only as a performer, but also for the arts.
You know, I try to do as much as possible when it comes to music and education. You know, a lot of outreach programs, a lot of talks. Whenever I go to a new city, I usually try to meet with the students. There is pre-concert, there is post-concert activities that I always try to do. And I just find it very important. And, you know, it's something that brings a sort of a healing to this world. And it's important for the future. And, you know, I feel that a lot of places are cutting art programs, music programs, and I work against it, because the more arts we have, the more education we have, the more future we have for the generations to come.
Now, you kind of skimmed over, but when you were in Moscow, you studied with Andrei Korsakov, and then you also at Juilliard studied with Dorothy DeLay and Isaac Stern.
It's true. I studied with Dorothy DeLay for probably 9 years. This is my tenure at the Juilliard School. And with Isaac Stern, I just had several lessons, actually. I would not say he was my teacher, but those were very important time in forming me as a musician, as a person. And Dorothy DeLay was one of the most brilliant teachers, legendary pedagogue that has changed many lives, including mine. So I feel very fortunate that I've had a chance to study with her, learn from her, and of course, having such incredible experiences as meeting and playing for Isaac Stern, that's also part of a wonderful experience in my life.
Tell us about the violin that you also perform on.
The violin I play on is a 1708 Antonio Stradivari, which is nicknamed the Ruby. The reason it's named Ruby is because it has this red varnish. It's almost like that movie, The Red Violin. But of course, the movie is fictional, but my violin is real. And this violin is on loan to me from the Stradivari Society in Chicago. So yet another fantastic thing that happened to me some years ago, that I was able to play and keep this instrument for several years now. And this is an instrument I have now with me that will be heard in performances in Des Moines this weekend.
I read somewhere that you were one of the first classical stars to be the lead in an independent film. Tell us about this experience.
Yes, I have a varied background. I've always had great interest in film and theater. So I explored a little bit when I had a chance around 2005, 2004. I even went for some auditions for Robert De Niro and had some readings with Matt Damon. I know it sounds absolutely surreal and almost out of place, but it did take place. And then this film director by the name of David Grubin approached me to do an independent film with a well-known producer, Michael Hausman, who was behind one of my favorite films, maybe, The Amadeus. And the story was relatively familiar to me. It was a story of a Russian violinist that comes to America to study at Juilliard. But then Then there comes a twist, which is, you know, not similar to my life. That character wants to play more diverse styles and falls in love with this girl that plays in the subway with her band, and I joined the band. Thus, the name of the movie is Downtown Express. It's the name of the band. So I can tell you that I found just a lot of parallels between film, theater, and music. I didn't feel that I was making some, you know, crazy leap. In fact, you know, hardly I needed to do a theatrical transformation for my character. It all felt very organic and very natural, and I absolutely loved it. And in fact, I think my film love now migrated into making music videos. And just yesterday, my latest video, which I directed myself, called Smile, with music by Charlie Chaplin, just came out, so people can see that.
And it's great that you found a whole batch of recordings or music of Charlie Chaplin.
Yes, it was a bit of a discovery. And I think Smile is a song that a lot of people have heard, but I don't think a lot of people realize that Charlie Chaplin was behind composing it. And I think even fewer people knew that he was quite a prolific composer that composed most of the music for his films. And when I stumbled upon that fact, I digged a little further and I found a whole collection of songs that I arranged with some help from professional composers and arrangers into violin and piano showpieces. And that came out just a few months ago on Warner Classics label. And of course, the next season is full of Chaplins. And Chaplins, meaning that a lot of programs with orchestras and in recital that incorporate those arrangements that I did.
And I read somewhere that you collaborated on some of those selections or something with Joshua Bell as well.
That's correct, yes. And Joshua is also in the new video. Joshua and I, we met at the Grammys. We were both nominated, I think, around 2002. And I think we commiserated about the loss and became very, very good friends and have done quite a few performances together, you know, in Hollywood Bowl, at the Verbier Festival in New York. You know, he's a tremendous musician and a great person, and it's been absolutely fantastic to work with someone like that. And he brought so much to the table, you know, during the recording sessions. You know, he has such original ideas, and it was a very, very exciting collaboration for me and for us. And he's on two tracks, actually. We did the duet of Smile and also Mandolin Serenade, which comes from Chaplin's film that is called A King in New York. So it's a wonderful, wonderful little song that we did.
Tell us, you had a concerto written for you in 2004, and you premiered it in LA.
Yes, this is a concerto by a wonderful Russian-American composer with very similar background to me, and her name is Lara Auerbach. And this is a concerto that I premiered in the Walt Disney Hall. It was its inaugural season, in fact, when it was just built. So yes, a lot of excitement with that as well. And I concentrate on bringing a lot of new music into the world and playing a lot of music by some really wonderful contemporary living composers. So this is an integral part of my career and my desire to perform as much modern music as I possibly can.
You are going to be playing the Korngold Violin Concerto with the Des Moines Symphony. Tell us about this wonderful concerto.
Korngold Concerto is one of my favorites, and I think it's coming to mainstream repertoire after many years of neglect. It was premiered by also Russian-American violinist Yasha Heifetz in St. Louis in 1947. And after that, I think Korngold's reputation was a little strange with him being associated exclusively with Hollywood music. But it's not so. He is actually a brilliant composer, maybe one of the greatest composers of all times. At least that's what Mahler Strauss and Puccini said that this kid is a genius, maybe next to Mozart. And I think because of war, his family needed to emigrate to United States and he needed to provide for his family. And I think the opportunities that he had to do with writing music for Hollywood, for films. So occasionally you hear that Korngold is being called a Hollywood composer, but it's really quite the opposite, in my opinion. It's Korngold that created Hollywood sound in many, many ways. So the concertos that I'm playing with Des Moines Symphony, it's been said that all the themes are derived from Korngold's films. And that is also not exactly correct because most of the themes were written before they made it into film. So they were reworked into film and then out of the film, after they became very popular, especially the theme from The Last Movement that is derived from the movie Prince and the Pauper, that, you know, made it as a third movement of the concerto. So it's a very, very exciting work and I've probably played it close to maybe even 200 times. It's a concerto that I performed the most. And I still love it, you know, just because it's a very fresh piece. And to some people, it's going to be unfamiliar, but it's unbelievably accessible. And it's exciting. And I think some folks will, by all means, recognize their favorite tunes.
What I love about it is right from the very beginning when the violin starts, it has such an exotic opening. Just grabs you right away.
Well, you know, funny that you mentioned this opening because that's exactly what I was discussing with Maestro Giunta yesterday because immediately from the first bar, the harmony and the texture of the piece grabs you and it actually does not let you off the hook throughout the entire piece. And that's what really happened to me the first time I heard this piece. I remember running to the library, getting the score and studying it immediately and bringing it to my lesson with Dorothy DeLay. And I remember she commented immediately that, Philip, I think you really like this piece. And I said, I really do. She said, you should play it as often as possible. And I think her words were prophetic in many ways because to this day, as I mentioned before, I play this piece so much and I still love it so much.
I think it's kind of interesting, too, that he uses a lot of pizzicato, which you don't often think of maybe in a concerto, because concertos, you think, well, you've got to overpower this huge orchestra.
Well, it's certainly one of the effects that Korngold uses, but his composing palette is very impressive. The sounds that he created, I think, especially at the time when he was writing it, were very fresh, very different. And still to this day, I feel it's very progressive harmonically. And you mentioned pizzicato, but really the entire concerto is a dialogue between a lot of instruments. This is really not a concerto where solo violin is the main protagonist. It's a concerto where most of the instruments are playing pivotal, important roles in a dialogue with a solo violin, and maybe also the reason why I like it so much. So it's a brilliantly written piece.
The second part is so intimate and tender. It's just incredible. And then the last movement is so exciting.
It's just a well-balanced concerto. And I agree with you. Second movement is actually one of the most beautiful second movements in an entire violin repertoire. And of course, it's called a romance. And it truly is. I think you immediately have association with the black and white films, or then first films in color. And it's certainly cinematic in so many ways. And I feel that in that sense, Korngold took the torch directly from Richard Wagner, who was the father of musical drama, which was combining several genres and several art forms in one. You know, his opera theater production containing ballets and narratives. So this is, I speculate, I think that if Wagner had access to film and film cameras, he most definitely would be creating something similar to Korngold. I mean, they're both revolutionary in that sense.
He'd probably be making videos like you are?
Well, I have a feeling that Wagner would have more budget to do something bigger than just videos.
I can't even imagine what he would come up with. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about the Korn Gold, like maybe some special little spot?
You know what? I really can't, because the entire piece is special. There's not a note out of place in this piece. I cannot pinpoint anything that stands out, because the whole piece stands out. But I can tell you that my favorite movement is probably the second movement. Well, now that we're talking about it, yeah, there's a little spot right in the middle that just completely puts you in a different world. I mean, I think it's almost like a fairy tale. Harmonically, it is so interesting. It's shimmering, and violin and orchestra have this incredible dialogue that takes place. So yeah, that would be the moment.
So what about an encore?
I'm still contemplating. You know, usually encore is supposed to be a surprise, so I don't want to reveal the surprise.
This isn't going to air until after you've already had your concert. So.
Oh, I see. So the encore will be Chaplin's Smile, just violin solo. And another encore will be John Carigliano's Red Violin Caprice. And John Carigliano is another fantastic American composer that I've been performing for many, many years. And I did the world premiere of his Caprices while my friend Joshua Bell did the soundtrack of the movie. So another link there. And one of the nights is going to be Caprice from the Red Violin, and another night probably Chaplin's Smile.
Well, thank you so much, Philippe, and it's a great honor to interview you today, and I know that everyone in Des Moines is going to be so fortunate to hear you perform. This is very exciting to have you in Iowa.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here as well.